Hello and welcome to another episode of Omoluabi Podcast. My name is Joseph.
And I am Anu.
It's good to be back. We've been away for a while, but we're back.
I'm back.
Are you back?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, so today we'll be considering yet another proverb. On this podcast, by the way, what we basically do is reflect on an African proverb per episode, specifically from the Yoruba tradition. So we take the proverb in Yoruba, we say what it means in English, and then we reflect on it from a Christian perspective, a biblical perspective. And so yeah, that's basically it. We intend that hopefully that would help some people to be more familiar with some rich nuggets in our cultural heritage. But much more than that, that we can also glean part of the additions or contributions that the Yoruba tradition brings to Christianity from its rich collection of proverbs.
And the purpose is so that we grow in the fullness of Christ. So Omoluabi means Omoti Oluwabi. In English, it means a child that is born of God. So the purpose of the proverb is to make us more like Christ.
Absolutely.
But using the proverbs laid down by our fathers, so we don't lose touch with our
ancestors.
So we don't lose touch with our roots.
Yeah.
So we're bringing the roots and applying it to our faith. Yeah.
Thank you. So, today's proverb, do you want to read it or do you want me to go for it?
I think you should read it.
Today's proverb says, Erin tueruku, efon tueruku, ti tueruku ajanaku, obote fomole. Erin tueruku, efon tueruku, ti tueruku ajanaku, obote fomole. What does that mean?
It means an elephant is raising clouds of dust, and what's Erin?
Buffalo.
Oh, a buffalo is doing the same thing, but the dust raised by the elephant is much, much more than what's been raised by the buffalo. Even though the buffalo in its own way is sizable enough, but not as big enough as an elephant. So it says to me that we should do away with unnecessary competitions. Some competition are not worth it. They're not worth our time to pursue. Some people are better than us. It's a fact. Some people are better than us at certain things. It is okay. We shouldn't strive to be like them or leave our buffalo size to want to be an elephant size just to do what they can do. So when I read the proverb, what it said to me is that, Anu, stay on your line. Stay on your lane. That's what it says, sorry. Anu, stay on your lane. So I'm saying it to our listeners that we should stay in our lane. And it's not just because it is wise and most effective. It's what the Bible also says. In 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11, it says that we should make it our ambition to live a quiet life. We should mind our own business and walk with our hands just as we've been told, so that our daily lives would win the respect of outsiders and so that we would not be dependent on anybody. And I remember we have a youth group called the Messages Group. We were just talking about last week, just talking about how to be effectively productive. And one of the things we shared then was that our callings are different. The gifts that we have are different. If we choose to copy people or follow what other people are doing in light of wanting to grow or do more, we might actually lose out on the things that has been committed into our hands.
Sure.
So it's best to work on what we have. And when I read this proverb, it further affirmed that fact that what we have is enough. Some competitions are not worth it. Our colleagues may be good at certain things or certain skills. We don't have to pursue after what they know, unless that is what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. God bless you. What do you think, dear?
For me, I think, a couple of thoughts come to mind. Because part of the context in which this proverb will be used sometimes is to make the point that there are just some things that you don't compare, like something is incomparable. In this case, the capacity or ability of the elephant to raise dust is incomparable. If any, I mean, the fact that any animal could do it doesn't mean that they could do it like an elephant could do it. Mm. And of course, the reason why the elephant will raise more dust, supposedly, than any other animal is because of its size, that is larger than theirs. And again, the size goes back to the DNA and things like that. But what it says to me from a spiritual point of view then is, I'm looking at this from two perspectives.
Mm.
One obvious one would be the non-competition, I would actually call it, between God and the devil. Again, coming from a tradition, from a Yoruba cultural worldview, some people would ascribe, as a Christian, in the Christian sense now, some people would ascribe some powers to the devil. You hear statements like "Eshulagbara konigbala," which means the devil is powerful. It translates to the devil is powerful, but does not have the capacity to save. Now the point is, yeah, if the devil is powerful, how powerful is he relative to our God? How powerful is the devil compared to God Almighty? And when we think of, for instance, what Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection, before his ascension, all power, Matthew 28:18, all power in heaven and on earth, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go into the world and make disciples of nations. Then where's the power that the devil has got? In other words, you can't even begin to compare whatever might look like power in possession of the devil vis-a-vis the God of all power, the one who is almighty. So the devil might raise dust, yes, but you can't possibly compare that with God's ability to raise dust when he chooses to raise dust. Which leads me to the second point from a human to human point of view now. We've just recently concluded studying the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the letters of Paul to the Corinthian church. And especially in 2nd Corinthians, one of the recurrent, one of the tensions that was ongoing that battered the letter was the fact that some people had snuck into the, some Judaizers had come into the Corinthian church and with their letters of recommendation, parading themselves as super apostles, as Paul would call them, and making the congregation, turning the back of the congregation away from Paul, and, you know, saying all sorts of things, bringing all sorts of allegations, and saying that Paul is not, amongst the allegations, the fact that Paul is, he might write powerfully in terms of his epistles, but when he's physically present, he's so weak, he can't, you know, do stuff and whatever. And so Paul, within chapters 10 and 13, comes to their foolish level, and he actually writes like this to say, "Permit me to also be foolish like you for a while, having laid a solid foundation in the first 9 chapters." Then it comes to their level to say, okay, if you want to actually brag, if you want to boast, if you want to talk about the things you've done, let me also give you a clue as to the kind of sacrifices I've paid in the kingdom. And then he begins to list all these things that are not even the kind of stories the Judaizers could possibly tell. Things he had suffered, how he had fought beasts, how he was once upon a time let down from a basket from the window to escape, you know, being killed. How at some point he had been shipwrecked many times. How on one occasion he was given 39 lashes. And all of this climaxed into what he said in 2 Corinthians 12, the story of him being caught up into the third heavens to hear things that no human could even possibly be permitted to speak of, let alone understand, on this side of eternity. And he kept doing all of this without any sense of pride, but just to make them see that if it's to boast, I have something to boast about. And in as that applies to this proverb, is to say the fact that the elephant is not raising dust and the buffalo is raising dust doesn't mean that the elephant can. So we should not mistake the gentleness of the elephant or the seeming gentleness of the elephant to its inability to do what, say, a buffalo would do. In other words, we should not mistake Paul's silence and humility for the fact that he has nothing to offer or that he has not done anything, as the Judaizers will make those people to believe. So those are the two sides that I'm looking at this from. The buffalo can be raising dust, but the elephant can definitely raise more dust if he chooses to do so. Any concluding thoughts?
Yes, just going back to the actual Proverbs.
Yeah.
It says that the elephant actually raised dust.
Yeah, it's just two statements, two factual statements. The elephant raises dust, the buffalo raises dust, but the capacity of the elephant to do it far outweighs that of the elephant. So factually speaking, it's saying that there are two things that you might want to compare, but in fact, they are incomparable. I'm just saying that by way of application, if the elephant chooses not to raise dust, it still doesn't change the fact that the elephant can raise more dust than the buffalo, which is again part of the point
of
its inherent. But that doesn't mean all elephants go about raising dust every day, as the buffalo may do. I don't think buffaloes also go about raising dust every day anyways. But yeah, that's any concluding thoughts?
No, not for me. Just to tell us to make our own dust.
That's another point, actually. Whatever you do, raise your dust.
The capacity that we've been called to raise it as. No more
and
than
be
that.
Satisfied with the capacity that God has given us. Absolutely. Mm. Thank you very much. So that's our proverb for today. Do you want to take it again?
I went to Eruku. I found to Eruku. Titueruku ajanaku bote fomole.
Erin tueruku, efon tueruku. Titueruku ajanaku bote fomole. So yeah, we'll see you in the next episode. God bless you. Bye.